on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. The Sportscast. Expect the unexpected.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk presented by The Sportscast.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk with Victor Orocho and Byron Jones. And here's your host, Victor Orocho.
Live out of Miami, Fort Lauderdale and Lancaster, Pennsylvania, welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, hosted by Byron Jones and Victor Orocho, brought to you by The Sportscast. Today is May 8th, 2025. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to Sportscast on all our channels, YouTube, X, Spotify, and iTunes. You can also catch us on your favorite streaming podcast channels. And please leave us a rating and a review. It'll help us out tremendously. And if you haven't yet, please hit the subscribe button, smash it on YouTube. You'll get and hit the notifications. It'll let you know when we're on live. Post your questions. Let us know if you'd like to join our show. And also, you can get some of our past episodes. All righty, let's get it on. Mr. Byron Jones, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. It's a Mr. I doubt it.
I'm not going to get into that about what you doubt. So we kind of had it before our pre-show meeting, but I thought it was you doubted something on the Giants. So that was pretty funny. No. Encouragement. All right.
Well, hey, just so you know, we're 1-1. We did win our last game. We lost the first one. I wasn't there. We won last week 7-7. 13-U.
13-U. And what is it? Is it 7-on-7?
No, 5-on-5.
It's 5-on-5. Interesting. 5-on-5. Auto rush, or you have a count?
You have to count.
You have to count, and then you go, okay.
Well, no, not count. You got to raise your hand, and you just, here you go. But, yeah, it's pretty cool.
I think flag is also good to get started. You know what I mean? Get people acclimated with the game. And then, you know, it helps skilled players quite a bit, but also helps all kind of players figure out what they would like to do.
Yeah, we start at 5. We have up, you know, 5-year-old, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, which is cute, man. And, you know, they're running all over the place, you know, like kind of like T-ball. And, you know, you got to point them in the right direction. And, you know, then, you know, we go, you know, 5, 7, 8. We go all the way up to 14. So, you know, it's a great organization. I got a couple, you know, I think like 130 kids are out there, you know, on a Saturday. We practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you know, at the high school field that is so nice to let us use their field, you know, as far as, you know, with the kids, you know, for the spring.
Oh, that's good. Keeps you busy. All right, let's get going. Let's go with some of our banners that we got going on, some of the top headlines. You know, the rookies are reporting – Giants draft. Oops, I gotta fix that. So let me fix that before I do that. Put that buck on there.
Yeah.
I was typing really quick. That's my non-typing ability. One hand's faster than the other.
Oh, really?
So yeah. So like I'll do four. I put fro and it'll be nad. It's just either. It's just because I should have took typing when I was in school. Anyways, Giant Pat, they're talking about the picks. And, you know, obviously we were talking over the last several weeks over Abdul Carter asking for Lawrence Taylor's number and then Phil Simms' number, which made more sense when you told me originally. But your text confused me because it was like he's getting Phil Simms' number and then he's not getting Phil Simms' number. I guess his family talked about it and they said no, they didn't want to give it up.
Right. You know, the big thing now they're going like with the Giants, you know, through the Giants history, they got a lot of, you know, numbers that are retired. And like I guess like with the Dallas Cowboys, they just go up in the Ring of Honor. I don't know if they, you know, retired numbers like the Giants. The Giants, you figure they got Giants, Neighbors is number one. You got Frank Givers number. You got Charlie Connery, you know, Wyatt Tittle. You got a bunch of guys. You know, I think they said the number because you're issued like from 1 to 99 is the numbers you can pick from. But I think the Giants number is like 86 because they have so many guys' numbers that are, you know, retired right now. And now, you know, the things I've seen up here, that they're trying to figure out a way to try to get around that, you know, where they, you know, they're going to run out of, they're not going to run out of numbers, but I'm just saying you're just going to have a smaller group of numbers to pick from for these guys.
Well, you know, that's a good point. But I mean, what's the difference if, like, you see, you know, I mean, LT a little bit different than, I mean, if we had a way Sims and LT, LT is a little bit higher. Would you agree? I mean,
A little.
I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, LT is stated as one of the greatest players ever to play the game. Right, every linebacker to play the game. He was just he was just ahead of his time, speed, strength. I mean, just think about it. It wasn't like, you know, these guys today work out. You know, they have better fitness, better food, better equipment. Everything they have to be able to become a better athlete is available today than there was when LT played. Fair. Right, I mean, just everything, yep. Just the drinks, the food, the just the equipment, right? A lot better, and then he was just a high performer. I love Phil Sims, don't get me wrong, but you know, I'm just wondering, is like, you know, maybe you retire your number and you look up in the rafters and you see number 11 Sims, you know who it is. He's retired. He you're recognizing him, like you said, maybe like the Ring of Honor. What's the difference if another guy is on number 11 on your team? Maybe that guy doesn't even stay with the team. Like, how is he going to dishonor the number? Just thinking out the other side of it.
Because you, like, some teams you have, you know, play where they don't retire the number, where the equipment manager just doesn't issue that number to anybody. You know, right. You know, that's another route that, you know, you can go, but still have the number available. But yeah, Phil Sims is a, you know, guy that, you know, he should be up there. You know, he did win a Super Bowl. You know, he was the start of the great, you know, the Giants tradition. So I think, you know, his number should be retired. I don't think Abdul Carter should get his number, even but they're saying that he didn't ask for it. It was like kind of like a roundabout way that it came up with his number. But an LT's number, he's kind of like the Jackie Robinson to me, where nobody should wear 56 in the whole NFL. Just take 56 right out of the number. Nobody, it just doesn't look right when somebody else wears 56. But the first thing you go think of is LT.
Well, then you're agreeing to what I just said, right? Sims is, I mean, Lawrence Taylor's here, Sims is here, and pretty much other players too. I'm not just pointing out Sims. I mean, LT's LT. He's still spoken about. Right, I mean, the left tackle got paid so much money because of Lawrence Taylor. Right, that's when they realized we better pay that left tackle. Right, when he hit Tyson, you know what I mean. And so, but there's a point where, you know, you're gonna run out of numbers. You know, over. I mean, I don't think the NFL's ever gonna go away. And at some point, you're gonna run out of numbers, right?
True. Well, here, these are numbers I got right now with the Giants. You got Ray Flattery. That's number one, is what Malik Nabers got that number. So that's numbers out there. Tuffy Lehman is number four. Mel Hines is number seven.
But these are retired numbers?
Yep, retired right now.
So Phil Malik Sims, was 11, able to get White. The guy released that number for Malik?
Well, he talked to the family. When he got drafted, he talked to the family. The family said it was okay, you know, that he would wear that number. Wyatt Tittle was Ward Cuff 14, Frank Gevert 16, Al Bolis 32, Joe Morrison running back, remember him, number 40, Charlie Connery 42, Ken Strong number 50, Lawrence Taylor 56, and Michael Strahan number 92. Are all the ones that are retired right now.
So who? But the only ones I know that you mentioned are guys who won Super Bowls. Right. Of the other guys, why were their numbers retired? Did they put up big numbers, or just, you know, time?
Because they were you have to remember the Giants have a championship history, you know, from the 30s and the 40s. That, you know, these guys go back way back, where, you know, they did win, you know, quite a few, you know, NFL championships with, you know, a bunch of these guys. But, you know, it is what it is.
Right. I guess, you know, maybe put a little, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I think that it's hard once you retire one number to pick it over the other. I think you do what Malik Nabers did, talk to the family, right? Don't, you shouldn't get out into the media until you speak to the family.
Yeah, right? But, And the Giants also have a couple other guys that number that should be retired, but are not, that played, you know, in the 50s or 60s. You got Roosevelt Brown, you know, the offensive tackle. Great, you know, one of the premier tackles back in his day. And then people, this one guy that everybody forgets that I always get into with somebody is Emelyn Tunnell. He was a deep of the back safety. He was the first African-American, you know, inducted to the Hall of Fame. You know, he had 79 interceptions when he retired.
If he got inducted to the Hall of Fame and first African-American, he definitely should have his number retired. I mean, that speaks for itself. You know, what about Phil McConkie?
Not retired.
Didn't he become a congressman or senator?
Nah, he's not retired. You don't retire that number. Nah. Number 80? Is he number 80?
Yeah, I don't know. He was a little guy, though. But anyhow, I just thought it was interesting. I wasn't sure. When we first talked, we thought he was going to ask for Phil Simms' numbers just for the fact that, you know, he played 11 in college. But I think they should talk to the families, you know what I mean? See, what do you think the reason would be? I mean, I could see LT not wanting it because, you know, LT's got has had a lot of challenges post NFL, right? And you know, if the one thing he does have is the fact that he's LT, his number's retired, even though he's still beloved and so forth. But what do you think the reason is why a guy would say no? I mean, because your number's still retired, you're still in the rafters, right? It's not like you're not going to be in the rafters. But why do you think a guy wouldn't want someone to be wearing their number?
Because he had the perfect response, and his response was, "Go get another number, make that one famous. That's it. Make that one famous."
LT said that. There's only one.
Yeah.
Right.
But you don't see
the number 11 and think you don't see the number 11 and think of Phil Simms. We're only picking out Phil Simms because he asked. Give me another guy, Strahan. Even Strahan, I don't see 92, and I don't think of Strahan. To be honest with you. 56 is embedded in my head. There's zero confusion in that number. And I don't know why. And Strahan was phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. Right? And he was a great leader, a representative of the New York Giants. But there's only one number that sticks. There's only a few numbers that stick out to me in the NFL. One would be – tell me yours. Mine would be 56 as LT. Another one would be 16 for Montana. Right? What other numbers would you think of that just stick out? Because 12, every quarterback back in the day was number 12, right? What number? 80?
Jerry Rice, 80.
What? 80.
Ronnie Lott, number 42.
Well, tell me the number first, for some reason, and then I'll. Yeah. 42. And like you're mentioning the name first. You mentioned the name, then I'll agree. If you just mention the number, right, who do you think of? That's what I'm talking about.
51.
No. Buckus?
Come on, man. Dick Buckus. Come on, man.
I said Buckus, right?
99.
Is that Reggie White?
No.
99. I don't know.
Aaron Donald.
But he's not retired yet.
Oh, he's retired. He's done. He's been gone for 2 years.
Oh, well, he's kind of 90. See, I won't think of those numbers. I know the names now more than before. I guess we knew the numbers back then is because, you know, back then we only had a few channels. Right now there's so many channels. You know what I mean? And I'm going to obviously know more of the numbers of the Giants than anyone else. But there's just a few guys that stand out to me, like 34. Who's 34?
Sweetness.
Exactly. So those are like those guys, those numbers, they're in your mind. You know what I mean? And I'm never a Bears fan, but there's only certain numbers that immediately make me think of a guy. 13.
Yeah.
Marino.
Kurt Warner too.
Yeah, see? And then 16, what was it? What was Peyton Manning? 18 or 16?
18. Yeah.
18. Okay. Anyhow, I don't know.
Wait. Here's a number. You better know this one. 44.
Oh, man. 44. 44. 44.
This is old.
Yeah, I'm trying to go. It's a position. Running back. Gail Sayers?
Nope. Come on now. It's a, you know, we're New Jersey guys. Bruce Taylor was 44.
Bruce Taylor, but he played for the Buffalo, right?
No, he played for the San Francisco 49ers. Our own Bruce Taylor, 44.
Oh, Bruce Taylor. That's right. Yeah. I wouldn't have known that number. Yeah.
Perth Amboy guy. Let's give him some love.
But his number's not retired. He's retired in Perth Amboy. All right. Well, let's go back to the draft. So, look, reviewing the draft, I was hoping to do this because there was a gentleman coming on. I wanted to see what his thoughts were. But, Abdul Carter seems to be very excited. You know, the fact that he wants those numbers, though, is telling you that he wants to be somebody, right? Leak neighbor asked for a number, and he performed. So I'm pretty excited about Abdul Carter. They are talking about Jackson Dart is very, you know, he's very appreciative to want to learn from the two quarterbacks that are there. You know, he's already studying the playbook. He's doing all the right things he should be doing. That's pretty exciting to me. How this is going to pan out, I don't know. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But they say he's doing well. They're also talking about that our running back. What's his name from Arizona?
Cam Scataboo.
Here it is. Yeah. Okay. Cam Scataboo. They're talking really good things about him. Isn't that the guy that you liked?
Yeah, they say, he doesn't have great speed, but, they say, I think he rushed for like 1,700 yards, like he had 1,200 yards after contact. So, he's that kind of guy that, you can give him the ball, he's hard to take down. He's not going to break a lot of long runs, but he's going to get, the steady, 4 yards, 5 yards, 10 yards, that kind of guy. So, he's
that's all you need.
Yep.
Because, I personally think, from my experience, right? If you get, that kind of 3-4 yards, 5 yards, get 10 and just and like beat down an offense, right? It forces them, they have to start blocking that line. You know what I mean? It forces them to put more people up front. If that happens, that frees us up on the outside. Our biggest problem is we haven't had an offensive line, one, and then we haven't had a running game, right? But, if you have someone that keeps breaking it, you got to protect yourself from that as well. But, wearing down a team like that, how it feels playing defense. You can't get off the field. Getting a lot of first downs on one drive. It doesn't keep you uplifted, number one. It tires you out, right? Because that's some of the problem with teams that, let's forget about even a running back, teams that score really quick. Right. Sometimes that's their Achilles heel.
Yep.
Right. Because they score too fast and they're giving the team enough time. Like you don't give them, don't score so fast and give Patrick Mahomes the ball to come down the field.
No.
Let's go to the other picks here. I know you like the other picks. They got a defensive tackle. They did really well here. We got another. Yeah. We got a defensive tackle that Darius Alexander.
Which we needed help.
Yeah, we need. Well, now you got Abdul Carter. We got a defensive tackle, right? And let's hope Thibodeau, comes around. Maybe this gets him motivated. Maybe this frees him up. I don't know. I mean, because he's had sacks. It's just he hasn't played big in games that we needed him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, his sacks are a garbage time. He has to be an impact player all the time. All the time. Mm-hmm. All
right.
Time.
Exactly. And he has the ability. He just hasn't shown it or they haven't brought it out of him. I don't know what the deal is. And maybe it's also, maybe it's just mentally for him that, he's tired of being on the field all the time and you can't score. You know what I mean? You're losing games because we lost a lot of games, not by a lot of points. I mean, some games we got blown out, but there's games that we lost by very little points. That is deflating to a defense.
But he also got hurt a couple, through the years. He's been hurt, ankle, shoulder, this, that, or whatever. So, I'm going to use that, too, as an excuse that he's not always on the field. But, now, he has to either put up or shut up because they did pick up his fifth-year option.
Right. And then so I'm happy with, just in the positions that we picked, right? The edge guy, we got drafted a quarterback that has the possibility for the future, Ole Miss. SEC, guys was 10-3, 11-3 in the SEC is not easy. We got a defensive tackle we just talked about. We got another running back. Then we got an offensive guard from Purdue. You know, Purdue players are smart, so that's hopefully he does well there. You got they always say, you know, picking linemen are always good because they last longer. Like, they'll stay with your team longer. They're not looking to get out of there right away. You got a tight end from Nebraska, which, you know, always like tight ends. Hopefully he makes the team. And then you got another cornerback from Oklahoma State.
Which you always need.
My point being is they did – it's rounded, right? We needed defense. We needed offense, right? And so – obviously you're going to pick offense and defense, but I did pretty well. And I thought it was interesting about, the numbers of the guys picking the numbers, and Lawrence Taylor's good, is right. You know, make your own number. But the other thing I could see is if a guy wearing LT's number and not performing.
Yeah, like, that would be pretty bad.
That would be a problem, right? I think that would be a major problem. So, all right, listen, man, we might be getting outbidded, bro.
Ooh, I think it was $750 million.
I don't think I can raise my part, man. We're going against Strahan and Manning.
I've been downstairs in the basement, man, printing money like crazy, man. I might be a little short. I've been printing for like a week.
I've been collecting. I've been going to freaking stores, entrepreneurs, asking to raise any kind of money I possibly can.
When I saw that number $750 million, I was like, whoa.
Well, I told you that it was going to be at least that, right? And the only thing is, I don't understand is why is Strahan and Eli, why aren't they teaming up? Like, why wouldn't they do it together? Like, why are they having SEP competing to buy a minority stake? Why wouldn't they just join hands? Two guys who played together, who won championships together, why wouldn't you just form together the group?
Because they probably don't have that kind of, you know, that cash money like that, those two together. They made a ton of money, but I'm sure between the two of them, they probably don't have $750 million like that. That's why, like, that's what Manning, he's with another, like, you know, another group or whatever group he's with, and then Strahan with whatever group. That's where the money's coming. They're going to be the face of it all. But as far as, like, putting all that money up there like that, Eli made a lot. I don't think he made $750 million worth a lot.
No. But I think that and Strahan's making money with all the shows he's on, right? But I don't need to make – he doesn't $750 million either. All I'm saying is why don't they combine their two groups to buy? Like, it would be nice to know that Eli Manning and Strahan are part of the group buying into the Giants.
Yeah, but that's like a lot of hands in the pudding. You figure it would be Manning, Strahan, whatever two guys. That's like four, five, six people. You know, that's a lot. You know, and one group. Yeah, I can see them two being the, or maybe they could do like with Miami Dolphins. Though. What do they do? They got like 19. You know, Venus Williams, Serena Williams, this person. They got a bunch of people that got a piece of that team.
Exactly. Well, that's the only thing. I thought it would be good. And you're right. It could be too many, but, you know, you would have thought they would have talked together. I think that would have been good. But I tell you what, the Mannings, they got their own production company. I mean, their Manning cast is doing well. They're spinning off other shows. And I think it's a Manning production, right? I don't think it's just Peyton. I think they're doing like a Manning production, if I'm not mistaken.
Not bad for the Manning.
Yeah. They're seeming to be making money outside of the NFL, and it can be a lot because, you know, now they're going to pay for the rights. The Manning cast is doing really well.
Yeah,
I watch the Manning cast over Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I watch that all the time. I'd rather watch that because the other one they.
I just like it because it's more it's kind of entertaining and knowledgeable at the same time, and they're both pretty funny. You know what I mean? Eli's funnier than I thought he would be, right? Peyton, you see Peyton in commercials and this and that, but Eli's a lot more funnier than I was expecting him to be. And he's just, you know, he's been Eli. I've always liked Eli, but I like the Manning cast, but I'm pretty sure there's a Manning something production, if I'm not mistaken, right? So they're building that. And I think they're creating other shows. You know, that's, you know, entertainment is where you make some big money.
Yeah. Well, you figure they got the other man coming up next, Arch.
Archie. Yeah.
It's Arch, not Archie. It's Arch.
Oh, that's Arch Manning.
It's just that's it, Arch.
Okay. All right. So any other news happening up there with the Giants that you could enlighten us here? I got to start reading the New York Post a little bit more.
They don't tell them good stuff in there, the Giants. But they brought up – the only thing they brought up about, like, you know, as far as with the draft, we're not going to go through the whole thing again. As far as Sadur and Dable, you know, kind of, you know, getting into it, you know, as far as – I think they said they gave him, like, an install, like something that they get – here, take this. We want you to go over this and then come back, you know, with it. And, you know, and I think they said what they do during the whole process is that they put stuff in there that they want him to be able to pick up as a mistake. And I guess, I don't know for sure that he didn't pick it up. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why they were a little upset with him. But, you know, now they're coming out saying that Jackson Dart was always their guy since, you know, January. And they're trying to, like, get away from, you know, the Sanders whole, you know, thing.
Well, we'll see what happens. Again, he's, you know, it's, you know, there's a piece here that we have. We'll talk about what we're banning. We're sure to. We'll get back to him in a little bit. All right. Hey, what do you think about this? This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
That could be dangerous or it could be an imploding the team, one or the other.
Yeah. I don't know. That one was kind of like out of left field. Why would Jerry Jones wait till after the draft, you know, to make a move, you know, like this? So I don't, you know, you figure it's next year's draft picks are, you know, a tail of the whole thing. But why would he wait till after the draft to, you know, get this guy instead of, you know, picking him up then? So, you know, is this his way, you know, he's going to make a splash? And then Mr. Pickens has, you know, some, you know, I don't know the guy personally, but, you know, just some of the things that you've seen him do, you know, in Dallas, and, you know, is the same thing going to play out there? And now he has CeeDee Lamb as the guy. So, you know, are they going to butt heads? Are they going to have issues down there? It was just a weird fit, you know, him going to Dallas like that.
Well, there were some good comments that came up that, you know, Tomlin and the Steelers always had the ability to handle receivers that were kind of like out there, you know, Antonio Brown, several other receivers, and they were able to handle them for quite some time. And they're saying that, you know, Pickens being there for such a short time must have been that much of a problem because when he played, he was great. But for the short time that he was there, for them to decide to let me release him, right? They think there's some other things there too. And there's also a money issue there, right? They were able to save like another $100-something million because I think his contract is coming up. But, you know, Pickens is an interesting character. You know, we don't know. You know, he's great when he wants to play.
Yeah, but it's just weird, man. The whole Jerry Jones, that's what I got in my mind that, you know, they waited until after the draft, you know, to, you know, get this guy.
Because, you know, I don't know. But for me, it's always like, you know, when they're really quiet, everybody's wondering. But when they're not quiet, he always does it where he shifts the spotlight back onto the Cowboys. So, right, we're in the middle of the NBA playoffs. Right? Now the conversation is the Cowboys, you know, picking up Pickens. And then you know how that is. Every time something happens with Dallas, oh, my God, they're going to win the Super Bowl, right? And granted, you know, CeeDee Lamb is a phenomenal player. Pickens is phenomenal when he wants to play. But he's got some issues. You know what I mean? And how's that going to play out in Dallas?
Like here, I'm looking at this thing right here. Like, he came in 2022. He has 52 receptions that year, 800 yards. The next year, 23, he had 63 receptions, you know, 1,100 yards. And then last year, he had 59, you know, 900 yards. It's not like he's putting up elite numbers because he's not. And, you know, whatever is going on, you know. In
Pittsburgh, how many touchdowns did he have?
He has 12 total over 3 years.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
No, and you know his yard per catch is like 16 yards, which is pretty high. But you know he's not putting up You know, I see the Lamb numbers, the guy that he's going to be with. He's not putting up those kind of numbers. That, right. You know, they're still going off, you know, potential, you know, with this guy. But what's going on behind the closed door that, you know, they got rid of him so fast?
I think they, you know, you saw his attitude after the season, right? He goes, I don't know. We'll see what, you know, he was already dismissive of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So there was already signs that he wanted out. And, you know, and listen to me, if you're a receiver and you have potential like Pickens, it's got to be frustrating when you got Mason Rudolph as your quarterback, right? And you haven't had a quarterback since he's been there. Right. So, you know, at least if he goes to Dak and Dak is like doesn't get hurt, you know, Dak's better than whatever the Pittsburgh Steelers has.
Yeah, but still like with Dallas, they still didn't address, you know, their running back situation. They still, you know, that's whatever. The offensive line is, you know, the offensive line, you know, even though they did pick, you know, guys pretty
I heard high. Their offensive line's gonna be pretty good this year. Maybe one of the tops.
Yeah, but who's going to run the ball? They really didn't address that.
Well, those guys like to pass. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of which Dak Prescott's going to show up, and is he going to stay healthy? Right, that's where that comes down to. But you still got the two big teams there. It's going to be, you know, Washington and Philadelphia, right? You got to still deal with that, and I think that's going to be a hard challenge for them. Let's see what happens, but it'll be interesting. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
The only thing with Dallas, right, they got three guys named Tyler on the offensive line right now. Yeah, Tyler Guyton, Tyler Smith, and Tyler Booker. They got three Tylers.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, in football, most of the time we call each other by our last names anyways.
Yeah, but still, you know, it's going to be interesting. Hey, Tyler, and all three of them turn around at the same time.
No, but I'm saying we usually call each other by last names.
Yes, we do.
We put our names on our helmets are usually our last names.
Yeah, and then Philadelphia Eagles re-signed Dallas Goedert for a little lesser amount than what he was getting. I think it was like $10 million a year. You know, like a pay cut. That's what he took, you know, to stay, you know, with the Eagles.
I would. Why would you go anywhere else? You got a good team. You know what I mean? You're not really missing any pieces. You're the last game of the season. You played the best football you ever played in the regular season, right? So, I mean, I think it's a good move for him. All right, now they're talking about what I have here is the Giants took one more swing at Cam Ward with last second NFL draft call to the Titans. What?
I don't even know what to say about that one.
Well, you know, it goes back to why'd you decide to beat Indianapolis? You could have had Cam Ward. Now you're given it. You would have had to give up stuff to get them, right? I mean, that
stuff. They had to get away to farm, man, to move up.
That's my point. The organization, something's wrong. Like you made a good point. You know, when you said they won because you know the Mariners probably said we've never went 0-4 at home in the entire history of the Giants. So you better win this game. So that made a good point, right? But if you know you're going to get the number one pick and the only quarterback that is truly a number one pick is Cam Ward, right, then why wouldn't you put yourself in a position to get him? And then you don't. And then you put yourself in a position to give up a lot to try to get him. Like those two, they don't add up. You know what I mean? They're not playing pool or chess. You know what I mean? They're not looking at their next move. They're looking at just what's in front of them right now, right? They're not looking at the next move. They're not looking at the future. It's just, you know, I'm happy with the pick they have. It's just, I thought this was an interesting comment that came up that, you know, Santiago had put in here that they made a last ditch effort, but they would have had to give up a lot.
Do you know how obvious the Giants would have had to make it to lose to the Indianapolis Colts to get that pick? They would have probably had to take and put a offensive lineman, a quarterback, you know, for them not, you know, to win the game. But then look a few years ago when we got screwed by the Eagles. when the Eagles put their third string quarterback in and caused the whole thing with us. You know, they knew, they did the right thing. You know what? Yeah, let's get it. Let's stick it to the Giants. Let's put this guy in, and you know, we'll see how things. And look what happened.
They could have put Tommy Cullet in. They could have done. There, so many different things could have happened, right? Because you know that was the first time I really thought that you know it was you know that a team was tanking, but it wasn't the players that were tanking. It was the organization. Right, it was them starting DeVito over there over the guy that they're paying $5 million. You know, to me, that is like I had said that a long time ago, and Santiago, I think, was on the show. He goes, to get players to try to tank, it's got to be super hard. You got 53 players, you know, everyone's fighting for the next year's contract, the opportunity to play on another team. They're doing something, they're going to play their best when given the opportunity. There's no confusion there, right? So, that's really hard. But the only way it could be done, and I had stated this, if it came from the top down, meaning don't play this guy, play this guy, don't play this, like play the guys that need to get something else. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. They skipped over the second string quarterback, right? QB2 to go to QB3 and paid that guy $5 million versus the guy that was taking less than $1 million. When they did that, that's when I'm like, this is the true essence of a team trying to tank, right? So them losing against Indianapolis, and Indianapolis was better than the Giants.
We
can move on to this, but I just think it's funny how, like, you know, it's like, you know, you had the opportunity, you didn't seize it, and then you were willing to give up the farm to get to, you know, how hard it would have been to get to the number one pick.
Yeah, they had to give up a whole bunch of ones to get, you know, probably next year and the year after. Yeah, it'd have been interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's one point we're going to go to here. Gabe Davis was released by the Jaguars, and the question posed was, would the Giants pursue him as a free agent wide receiver?
Let's see, will they or should they are two different questions. So, yes, they should.
Should they?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they
now,
should.
Now, I looked at his numbers. His yards aren't that impressive, but he's, based on what you told me on Pickens, he's got a lot more touchdowns than Pickens.
And he was with Dable, and I think Shane, they drafted when he was at Buffalo, this guy. And yeah. You know, he did his best work. He did his best work with Buffalo. And so maybe a reunion with Dable, and even, you know, we need that third, you know, or fourth, you know, he's either a number two receiver or number three receiver. He got a ton of money to go down there. Huh?
Go ahead.
He got a ton of money to go to Jacksonville, and then for them to release him after 1 year, I think he got like a $39 million with like $24 million guaranteed or something like that, and they released him after 1 year. You know, why? You know, I think he had a torn meniscus.
Yeah. Well, prior to last year, I mean, he didn't put up like, you know, he had like 600 yards, 550. His best year was 836. So it wasn't putting up massive yards, but his TDs were 7, 6, 7, 7. And then his last year was 2. So he's averaging at least 7, you know, 7 touchdowns a game. And then his average yards per catch is like 17, 15, 17, 16, 11. You know, his career average is 16. He's got a total of 29 touchdowns. Now, granted, he was playing most of his career with Josh Allen, but he put up some decent numbers.
If he comes back from the injury, yeah, because he was injured, he's a good number three receiver. I love Wandell, you know, Robinson, you know, the death, you know, he caught 93 passes. And I think he had like 800 yards or whatever, you know, it wasn't a lot of yards. You know, most of the stuff was, you know, 2 yards here, 3 yards, 5. You know, it was like a lot of little stuff. And he would be an upgrade if they want to do what Dable wants to do, which is push the ball downfield. He's that kind of guy. So, you know, he would be a, you know, good pickup, you know, if he's not injured, you know, to be the third guy behind Neighbors, Slayton, and then him being the third guy, and Wandell, you know, coming in and gadget stuff.
And we can keep everybody, like, injury-free at the same time. Because I think every time we do the depth chart before the season starts, you'll light up all these receivers, yeah. And 50% of them have hamstring problems.
Yeah, before the season even starts.
Every year, it's like a hamstring. 50% of the receivers got injury issues. Anyhow, you just brought this up about Goddard reworked his deal. And then speaking of real quick, of Shador, you know, obviously Brady and them got a relationship, and he had, you know, he's telling him use this as motivation. I just think that how much he could use it with Cleveland, I just don't see it. I just don't understand. You know, I don't know what he's going to be able to do there. I mean, they picked a quarterback above him.
Yeah, Gabriel mm-hmm. Dillon. Yeah, I think if he goes, he's talented. He really is. And if he goes in there and gets his head down and puts in the work, which, you know, he's going to do, I think they, you know, they might have made a mistake. You know, instead of picking, you know, Dillon third, they should have picked, you know, it should have been reversed. But I think he's going to go in and he's going to put the, you know, because it's a humbling experience, you know, for this to happen. And I think he's going to go in and do the work, just like, you know, Tom Brady. Tom Brady was what, number one? I didn't say he's Tom Brady, but 199. And, you know, this kid is like 145 or whatever number he was. And I think he's going to go in and do the work, and he might get that job. If it's not this year, it's going to be next year. But I think he's going to do, you know, well.
Yeah. Just the order, though, is like, well, I guess it doesn't matter what order you pick the guy, right? It's going to be matter who does better in, you know, in practice, in OTAs, and they're going to look at it overall, right?
Yeah.
I'm just curious to see how they're going to work that out, right? I just know that if I was the guy that was picked ahead of him, I better outwork him because, you know, he's already got his name. That guy's already got it in. You know what I mean? So the guy was picked ahead of him. Then they obviously, what's his name? Deshaun Watson. He's out for the year again, isn't he?
Yeah, done.
He's done. And then they got Kenny Pickett. Flacco.
Yeah.
Right? Flacco's going to start. Right? And Kenny Pickett. You know, you don't know if he turns into a Sam Darnold or he stays as Kenny Pickett. Right? And then so the opportunity is that to get into that because they could only carry three quarterbacks now, right?
Yep.
So either one of them is going to go to the practice squad or they cut them, one or the other.
One of two things going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. So pretty much those two guys are vying for the third position. Right, because I'm pretty sure Kenny Pickett's got the tools as the quarterback. It's just he hasn't been able to, you know, execute.
Let's throw this out there, money guy. So you got the third round pick, and you have Shador. Which one would you keep as far as with the whole money thing?
If when it comes down to money, I'll keep the lower pick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I keep the lower pick because you're already – it is what it is. But, I mean, how much difference would it be really? Because they get paid based on where they were picked, right?
Right.
And but how much gap is the difference? And then the issue is what are you going to pay later on and everything else? But I would pick to keep the fourth guy, right? Maybe that was the reason. They figured, hey, he's around. I would have taken him. But why wouldn't they take him at third? But we'll see what happens. Hey, you know, good luck to them. See what happens. But again, I keep saying, you know, always you commend kids because I thought he did a great job, right? I think he's got the skill sets, and you know, I'm a big Deion fan. It's just that, you know, if it doesn't pan out for him, he's not going to be hurting for money.
No, not really. No.
Oh shoot! I don't want to deal with that, Mitchell. All right. Let's talk a little bit. We got 13 minutes left, so let's get into some basketball. So what do you think about the Knicks and the Celtics? What is your thoughts on? I still am in disbelief. In the first game, okay, not a problem. I can't believe that happened again.
Because they're
have you watched the game?
Yeah,
I mean, you got to hear about it. You're up there, but you still got to hear about it.
I hear about it. I hear about it. My sister tells me about it. Sandy's a big Knicks fan, big time. Uh-huh. And you know, she was giving me the rundown, basically that you know, and the guy I coach with is he's a Boston Celtics fan, and the problem he has is that like Jason Tatum is you know without a doubt, one of the top five players in all of basketball. And for some reason, his thing was, why is he's bringing the ball up and he's doing, and then, you know, by the time he gets up there, you know, the shot clock and he's got to rush. He's been rushing the last two games, him and the other guy, Brown. So instead of them, with Holiday, doing what he's supposed to be, doing his job, you got Tatum and Brown are doing too much, which is causing all, is causing all the problems. But then you have Mikal Bridges is D'ing him up. He's making him be uncomfortable, like the shot he took to his left, falling out, whatever he was doing. And he's playing well defensively. And OG, my sister called OG, defensive guy, big time defensive guy. And Jalen Brunson is doing his thing. So you have the Knicks guys are doing their job. Mm-hmm. But you have the Boston Celtics guys who have, probably the two of the top 10 players. You might as well say that. And they're not playing well at all.
Well, each of those players make $300 million each, have deals for $300 million. So you have two $600 million guys. You need to play better. And what I don't understand is, I don't know if you saw the game last night, but when the Celtics were down one, Tatum took the ball all the way down quickly and bang, slam dunk, went sliced right through it. Then in the second time, he actually took his time going downfield. So he gave them time to get set up. So, and what was the sad part is, I hope I didn't jinx him. So a gentleman I know that works across the street from where I live in this awesome brunch place is a big Celtics fan. And, I had called him up before the game and I was saying, how they're talking about Ant-Man so much and this and that. And I just kind of felt Jason Tatum get slighted, right? Because I think he's a phenomenal player. He was phenomenal when he first came in the league. And then that's why I was a little upset with Kyrie, because when Kyrie went to Boston, like, Jason Tatum just vanished. Kyrie leaves, Jason Tatum becomes a superstar again, and they take him and they win a world championship, right? But man, they're just shooting really bad. I mean, Byron, the first game, all they had to do was make two threes. They would have won that game. And another good point is, you got Brown and you got Tatum, and they're not shooting foul shots. I mean, when Jordan played, when Dwayne Wade played, Kobe played, a lot of their points came from free throws.
Yeah, but these guys, the one you're talking about, they attack the basket to get to the free throw line. Well, you got these guys, everybody shooting a three-pointer, 45 of them and making two or whatever they were doing. Yeah, you're not going to get to the free throw line because you're just standing back there just launching it constantly.
Well, that's my point. My point being is they have the ability to get to the hole. Like Brown was doing it in the beginning, but they're just jacking up threes, and you're not Steph Curry. No, because Steph is still he is the best shooter I've ever seen. Pure shooter. Nobody's better than that guy. Anyhow, the Knicks, congratulations to the Knicks. By the way, we always mention Richie Vargas out there regarding the Jets. Richie's a big Knicks fan, so congratulations, Rich, and the Knicks. Go New York, go New York. So I'm happy to see what they're doing. They're playing good ball. What's his name? Anthony Towns is playing good.
Speaking of him, played against his father, Piscataway High School, Carl Towns Sr.
Did you really?
We beat the daylights out of him in the county. We beat them by 20 points. Yeah, but he blocked my shot, man. Yeah, I knew I was going to be passed.
Larry Rudolph on that team.
but his dad was a great center, man.
How big was he?
Like 6'7".
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember? That was the size of the guards from Neptune. The guards were 6'7". That was the biggest team I could ever imagine in high school, at least back then. And then what do you think about, Curry, right? I think, Curry out being injured, it's a matter of time. They were clocking him. He's running like 2 to 3 miles a game. At 37 years old, that hamstring is going to give out once in a while.
This dude, man, he is a great shape for somebody 30 plus, where he can run constantly.
No doubt.
The way he runs constantly.
And then, two to four miles a game.
Yeah.
That's not fast breaks. That's like in a half court offense.
Yeah. Just keep it constantly moving. And then to be able to shoot, you know, the way he can shoot, man, this dude, man, he's definitely, you know, top three shooting guard, point guard, or whatever you want to call him. And he's been like that, you know, for a long time. Not bad for a guy that came from Davidson University.
No. And my son, let me tell you, my son told me about him when he first came out. Like, and I remember my son telling me that, and I didn't think much. And then as, you know, a couple of years started progressing, and then with Klay Thompson and all that, now he started seeing this guy, and it's just, he's been great ever since. You know what I mean? But him being out, it's going to be tough. But they won without him.
Yeah, Butler did his thing.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler, yeah. I love what Butler did for the Heat. You know, the Heat, when he came to play against the Heat, they gave him a standing ovation. Everyone didn't understand that because the way he kind of quit on the team and this and that. But, you know, I think he made a good move. I don't think it's any indication that, hey, Roddy made the wrong move by not having him. It's just, I don't think Jimmy wanted to play with that team. He was like, I think Jimmy wanted to have somebody else that could play as good. You know what I mean? He's definitely on a team that has better players than the Heat.
Yeah, but why would he do it the way he did it instead of just being, you know, professional? Going out there, you know, don't be a disruption. You know, because he is a great basketball player, but, you know, he was kind of a disruption and, like, threw, you know, a lot of stuff off, you know, with the Heat, you know, by doing some of the things he did. But, you know, it worked out with him, you know, as far as going, you know, where he is now with the Warriors.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, though, you know, the Heat, they got a philosophy, and they're not going to mess around. I mean, look what they did with Wade, and then, you know, Riley had to apologize to him, right? So Butler may be seeing that. It's like, I want out. I want to get to another team really quick. And, you know, there's always two sides to it. That's all. All I know is that Butler helped us get to two finals, right? I mean, the guy played, and look at the team he played on. I mean, the one time that he took us to the finals, we had like six guys that were on the team that were free agents.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so, you know, when people are questioning whether Butler can help, I mean, you know, the Warriors have a lot better talent than that Miami team that went to the finals. Now, granted, it was in the East, it's not in the West, but, you know, Butler has the capabilities of changing a team. And if Draymond plays the way Draymond's been playing, I mean, if Draymond can put up 15 points when Curry's there, they'll blow out teams. Because it's not like Draymond usually puts a point, but he put up 20-something points the other day. He hit a few threes. And look, when he played at Michigan State, I think went to Michigan State, he played, put up numbers.
And then he comes to the NBA and becomes a defensive specialist, and probably one of the better ones, you know, we've seen for a while. You know, all the other little extra stuff that he does, but, you know, he's been a winner. So, you know, that's all. You win, maybe win.
But you gotta be careful with him because he's already got like four technicals, a couple flagrants, and, you know, he can't risk getting ejected. I mean, I just understand guys like he knows that they're coming after him, right? Like the refs are looking out for him. They just don't want to deal with it. So he's just got to play smart. He can't risk getting ejected, you know, from the game, because that's going to hurt him. Because the other thing with the Timberwolves, as much as they're talking about Ant-Man, and I think that guy is great, but I think what they like about him the most, I don't know how much you know about Anthony Edwards, is because of the dunks he makes, is Jordan-esque. You know what I mean? He flies, yeah. Right? Okay? But that Timberwolves team is a terrible shooting team. Terrible. I mean, they beat the Lakers, granted, with an older LeBron, without a big guy. But, you know, no, the bench, the rest of the team didn't come through, right? I mean, Luka put up 30 points a game, and the Timberwolves shot terrible. And we're still able to pull out the game. So we know they're a terrible shooting team. So I don't know, you know, I think the Warriors – The Warriors, they got to win. Butler's got to get one game under their belt to give Curry a chance to get back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you get two, If you win two, that means you got three games. You know what I mean? That means you got to play at least, you know, three games, meaning because they're, you know, that the other team's got to win four, right? If you win two, if you get one and the other one has to win three more games. So even if you lose one and you win one, now it's 2-1. The other team's got to win three games. That's going to give enough span of time when they play for Curry to be healed. Because I think Curry's going to be out for, let's see what we have here.
A week.
Curry, that rules him out for games 2, 3, and 4 against, right? So he just needs to win one of those games. Then it's a 2-2 game, right? And now it's the best out of three with Stephen Curry back.
Yeah, they just got to hold on. They got
to
steal.
They can't lose three games. They have to take one of those games, right? They take one of those games. It gives a chance for Curry to come back. And you know, Curry's going to come back with a fury, right? He scored 13 points in 13 minutes. Let's go over there. So anyhow, that's what's happened in the NBA. The other teams. I'm surprised Indiana's playing really good. I mean, that Halliburton. Huh? Okay, well, they won. I wasn't expecting them. This kid, Halliburton, is just lighting it up. And they beat him again the last second, and I think they won. And then did you hear about his dad getting into a fight with Giannis?
Well, no, it was a minor altercation. It was a fight. It was like a scrum, you know, where, you know.
It was bad. I think they wanted to get him, like, ejected from all games. That would be terrible.
I think he got banned by the Pacers. I think they banned his father.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have came out on the court.
And you won. You won the game. Your son hit the game winning shot. What is it you gotta say to Giannis?
You know, some people, you know, those, and I'm sure you saw it, you know, coaching, you know, basketball, where you have that one dad that, you know, the kid does something. Next year you turn him and look, and, you know, the kid, you know, the dad is jumping up and down and spinning around and all kind of stuff, and, you know, doing a little bit too much, as I call it.
And that's true, but this guy went up to Giannis.
Yes, right? And I've seen that at all levels.
Went up to Giannis after you win the game. I've seen fathers do that. When you lose, not when you win and your kid hits the game-winning shot. You're more focused on your kid and happy for your kid and celebrating your kid. And, you know, Giannis has always been a gentleman, a good guy. I mean, I've never seen him do anything dirty, bad, or whatever. I know he wants out of Milwaukee, but, you know, I don't think that was good. But Indiana's playing some tough ball. We'll see what happens there. But you know, I enjoy the playoffs. The only thing I don't like about the playoffs, it's just too late. I can't stay up. I gotta go to bed. So I gotta watch the highlights in the morning, man. There's no way. Even tonight, I think the game starts at like 9:30 or something.
Yeah, that's a little late for you.
Oh yeah, man. I gotta go to bed, bro. I get up early. Yeah. What time do you get up?
Like 5:30.
Oh, you get up early. So nah. I usually try to get up if I can, but most of the time I try to get up at like 4:50 to get to the gym by 5, and then start my day and do all my stuff that I got to do. But that takes for me to go to bed a decent time. And watching those games will just kills me for rest. And thing is, I don't sleep well to begin with. You sleep through the night?
All night long.
Yeah, see, you're like, you know, all you police officers can do that, man, because you just got used to those shifts.
Go to sleep.
Benny can fall asleep in nanoseconds. Like, literally nanoseconds. I could be talking to him while in the middle of talking to him, he's snoring.
He's tired, man, from all the stuff he was doing, man.
I'm just talking about I guess he trained. Remember, when I don't know how the sheriff's was, but as a trooper, you have those rotating shifts. Right, so they're working nights, they're working days, you know, working midnights.
I was all midnights until I got promoted, and then I went to day shift. And besides that, I was midnight for 17 years.
Oh my God. I don't know how. That means you had to sleep with the, like, daylight?
Yes, daylight, yep.
And when the sheriff's office was like troopers, they had, you always had a second person because you work at night. So were you with a second person?
Yeah, I worked in booking the whole while I was there.
Okay. Yeah. So, no, Benny was one day. They're on the road, so when they're during the day, they were by themselves. At night, they always have two troopers.
Yeah.
In the car, which makes sense. All righty. Well, let's see what we got going on. we'll see some what happens next. I'm sure Dallas is going to make it some other pieces. The Giants, we're going to hear about the OTAs coming up pretty soon, so I'm excited about that. You know, let's end it with I'm assuming that you believe that Russell Wilson's the number one. It's his job to be number one. Winston will be number two. And then Dart should be number three. And then DeVito will be on the practice squad. Right. Let me tell you, being DeVito is a pretty decent life. You're a Jersey boy, right? You know,
living home in the same house.
You're living at home. You're making close to $1 million. I mean, you know, you got it pretty good.
Yeah.
You know,
I got two things. He had a passing. You know, one of the guys I used to work with, you know, he went to the Dominican Republic, like I think it was last week, and he passed away down there. Kevin Clay. Yeah, I worked with him, 54 years old. I worked for him, you know, real time, and they brought him home, you know, today. So they had like, you know, a little, not a viewing, but like a where they stood outside and, you know, saluted him. You know, gonna
prayers
have,
to his family.
Yeah, you know, Kevin Clay, man, a good dude, man, man. They used to call him Lil B.
What happened with you? Did you have a heart attack? Did he know what happened?
Nobody knows anything what happened. You know, down that's in the Dominican Republic. Then a guy we both know, you know, finished his cancer treatment. Shane McPherson. Did you see that? You know, what Shane. You
Yeah,
because he had prostate cancer. Shane McPherson.
What happened to him?
Nothing happened to him. He's all good to go now. He rang the bell that he's all done with chemo. He's good
to go. Oh, my God, bro. When you started off with one beast, don't tell me that. I just saw him on Facebook. You know, but we graduated.
Nah,
you can't start off with a guy dying and then bring up a friend of mine.
I would have put them all together.
Okay, I understand. Ending it with the good news. I got it. Well, man, you just my heart joke, bro, because I'm texting him and I'm telling him, hey, I saw him do something. I didn't read it. I didn't see it yet because today was just one of those crazy
days. He rang the bell where he went, Sloan Kettering, I guess, in New York. And he rang the bell, you know, today that, you know, he's good to go. You know, he's finished with the, you know, chemo therapy and everything. Man, he's a good dude, man. Yo, I'm glad for him. Yo, I'm happy for him. Yo, his family. Yo, I think both his sons go to Rutgers. Yo, so you know, he's a great family. You know, he's a great dude, and you know, I'm glad for him. You know that. You know, he battled through this. You know, being that Panther pride kicking in.
We graduated with me, him, and Vonda graduated together. We played football together. And I was praying for him as well. And, you know, we always made him in comments and, you know, and he was out there telling everybody, he goes, look, I delayed it. You know what I mean? Go out there and get tested. You know, once you turn 50, you need to do it. You know, I did it. Right. I was scared.
That's what my dad passed away from. I've been doing it since I was 35. I've been doing it a long time. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I did it. Just a couple of years ago, actually. I should have did it earlier, but they always said, you know, I was fine when I got checked, blah, blah, blah. But God bless, to your friend. Blessings to his family. Sorry to hear that. And a blessings come true with Shane McPherson. Shout out to Shane, Perth Amboy Panther, and the McPherson family. We're really happy to hear that you went well. All righty. Don't forget to tune in next week, every Thursday, live at 8 p.m., Jersey Boy Sports Talk, talking the NFC East and football all around. We'll be talking about the Giants, the Commanders, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. And then we will go around the league depending on who's joining our show. More than welcome to join our show if you want to talk some football. Please subscribe to all your social media channels, to the Sportscast, and listen in on the Jersey Boy Sports Talk. We are out. And God bless you and everybody in your family. Prayers for those that are having some tough times and prayer for those who are getting through some tough times. Mr. Jones, as always, a pleasure. And we will see you next week. Good night, everyone. And let's go.
Good night.
Let's go, New York. All right. Peace.
Go Giants.